This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is identity theft, prevention, and how to protect yourself from being a victim. My guest is Vishal Jangla, a San Mateo County Deputy District Attorney and prosecutor of electronic crimes, including cyber stalking, computer hacking, and significant identity theft offenses. For more information, he's put together a beautiful guide. It's a multiple-page guide that you can download. It's entitled Identity Theft and Prevention, The Inside Story. I would hope that you have something to write with, because on this program we're going to have a number of phone numbers as well as Vishal's guide. Here's his website address, http://... and that's tinyurl.com/SAVE, that's save, S-A-V-E, capital P-I-I. We'll repeat that again for you in a few minutes. In any event, let me also tell you that funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and by the San Mateo County Bar Association, and also by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. It's also our Call a Lawyer night. Before we talk with Vishal, it's our Call a Lawyer night. Please jot down some numbers here, because I want you to take advantage of this if you're listening to the live program, which we are doing on Wednesday, June 28th. It's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Here at the station, KLW in San Francisco, we have several attorneys. Jeff Hayden, who's a certified specialist in criminal law. He's chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. For estate planning, trust, and probate law, we have Mark Seidenfeld. For employment law, we have Michael Nelson. For landlord-tenant law, Sal Timpano. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde. For tax law, real estate, and he's also a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And we have three attorneys who will be taking calls tomorrow. That's Thursday, June 29th, starting at 9 a.m. Janet Frankel is a certified specialist in family law. She'll take calls from 9 to 11 a.m. Her number is 415-362-9533, 415-362-9533. Rob Wyman is a certified specialist in workers' compensation law. He'll take calls tomorrow from 9 to 11 a.m. at his number, 415-387-8100. That's 415-387-8100. And if you're being chased by creditors tomorrow, Leon Bayer in Los Angeles, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will take calls from 9 a.m. to noon at his number, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. Fisher, it's great to have you on the program. You and I have been in the same office over a number of years. You're the guy now who is the specialist in identity theft. Could you answer this first of all? How often are there victims of identity theft today in the United States?
Chuck, it's a startling statistic. There's a victim of ID theft every 2 seconds.
Oh, my.
And this is from a study that was done over 3 years ago. And since then, we've become a much more connected world, and we've been the subject of far more cyber attacks than we care to remember.
Well, we certainly know that from, obviously, all of the stuff going on in Washington, D.C. with regard to the last presidential election.
That's right.
Yeah.
And since then, it's been in the news pretty constantly. In fact, as recently as yesterday, a new wave of cyber attacks that are taking over our digital devices.
Never a dull moment, is there? Would you briefly do this? I think we're all aware of certainly having heard the words identity theft. Could you just simply define, it's nothing as simple in today's, certainly our society, but could you define what identity theft is?
Sure. Let's start with the word identity.
Yeah.
It could mean anything from your employer ID to your fingerprint, your ATM PIN, your tax ID. I mean, the list is quite endless. And the identity theft really means the compromise of that information, that that information has gone from a place where it should be trusted and kept safe to an unknown location where it is ripe for exploitation.
I remember one year, one of the inspectors in our office, and this goes back a number of years ago, he went to a service station, and this is quite surprising, it was to me at the time, and he was buying some gas at a service station using his ATM card, and somehow his PIN and his identification with his ATM was somehow recorded. He found out a few weeks later that his bank account had been actually robbed. There had been theft of his bank account of about $7,000. And here is a guy who is a law enforcement officer, and it happened to him. If it happened to him, it's going to happen to anyone. And one other story I'd like to tell you, and I'm not going to identify who this is, but a very significant deputy district attorney for San Francisco. He came to our office one time some years ago to do a presentation on identity theft, and he told us that he himself personally had had his credit card, obtained at three different times. So what do we do? What are we doing generally wrong here, Vishal?
You know, Chuck, that's a great question. There are many ways in which identities get compromised, and we've heard of all of them, but I think what's important is how we protect ourselves. If you don't mind, what I could share with you is one of the easiest ways identities get compromised is the mail. Driving down one of the neighborhoods, you will notice mailboxes lining the street, and very often there's stacks of mail sitting in each one of them.
Yeah.
As a prosecutor, I've come across numerous cases where I'll use the term bad guy, will, you know, drive down the street and just start grabbing mail from these roadside street boxes. And my first advice on securing your mail is, and this is not easy to do, but move that mail slot to your front door so that your mail goes to a secure location in the house.
That's a very good point. I know that when I was making presentations to different, social events, before you became the prominent guy doing ID theft, I would tell people that please, if you are going to make out your check for your utilities bill or whatever it may be, you know, some people have had the habit of putting an outgoing mail into their mailbox, thinking that their friend mailman or mail woman or person will take that mail and, you know, take it to the post office, and of course that's very unwise. How do we generally protect ourselves from something like this, Vishal?
So securing your mail is one aspect, but I think the vast majority of our interactions as a society involving our identity is online. And more and more, our own computers, whether it's at work or at home, are targets of identity theft. So really, you know, it starts at when you connect to the internet. Your computer, your laptop, your desktop, whatever it is you use, really should have a firewall and antivirus, and you should be using good, secure web browsers to get on the internet. That initial connection on there should have those three aspects of your device so that you protect yourself against cyber attacks. You know, one of the things that was a point of weakness in the string of cyber attacks we've heard about in the past few weeks has been the fact that people don't update their operating systems, that they don't have updated antivirus software.
How did they go about doing that, Vishal?
So So a lot of computers can now be set up to automatically update their operating systems. And as far as antivirus software goes, it's the same same deal. In fact, some internet service providers are now offering up a free version of antivirus because you know, having computers within their customers that get hacked is not good for their business either.
No.
So I would encourage your callers to check with their internet service provider and see if they offer that and a firewall as well.
If you are using a computer a lot, and let's say maybe you've been using Gmail for your mail, sending out and receiving mail from people who are communicating with you, will you find that Google will alert you, hey, you need to update your firewall or your antivirus? Will it do that automatically, or is this something that the average person needs to contact whatever?
You know, that's a great question. Google won't. And
oh, it won't.
Not specific to Google, but a lot of the services we use, you know, whether it's Gmail, Amazon, or Netflix, they don't necessarily know whether or not your operating system or your antivirus is updated, or that it's even there. It's one aspect of getting on the internet that is that's very reliant on the person who's connecting to the internet. So what I encourage people to do is often, whether it's a Windows operating system or a Macintosh, is to check for updates, for system updates, and make sure that if they aren't using the latest software, that they update it manually. And now there's a way to set it up so it auto-updates whenever there's a new release that comes out.
Can you simply tell us, again, I know there is nothing simple, but it simply, if someone has not done this or doesn't know that he or she or they have the latest firewall or antivirus, how do you go about doing this? You turn on your computer, and what do you do?
So, you know, as the phrase goes, it's very easy to Google it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
One easy way to do it is to do a quick search online. Mm-hmm. How do I update my Windows operating system?
All right.
And it's a little, depending on your operating system and how it's set up, it's a little intricate to cover over a quick radio show.
No, I know.
But I think that if your callers start at least at that point, how do I update my operating system? That's a good starting point.
I think that's excellent advice. Again, everyone, I want to give you the title of Vishal Jangala's, I call it a guide. It's a multiple page guide, which is very helpful. And I think everyone who uses the computer, who wants to be to protect themselves as much as possible, should take a look at this, and you can access it. There's no charge, obviously. It's entitled Identity Theft and Prevention, The Inside Story. And, of course, you'll see when you open up, you go to the website, which I'm going to give you again in just a minute, you'll see it's a public service by San Mateo County District Attorney's Office. The author is Vishal, V-I-S-H-A-L, Jangla, J-A-N-G-L-A. The website for this is, if you want to jot this down, tinyurl.com/ capital S for save, S-A-V-E, and then capital P, capital I, capital I. Do I have that correct?
You do.
I do. Okay, good. And so that is something that's available to you. You can download it if you want. You can look at it on your computer. And I think it's a very, very well done. There are many things in there that probably most of us maybe not even be aware of. What I want to do, Vishal, is I've told you every month, the fourth Wednesday of the month, we have, and we've done this for years, Call a Lawyer Night, where while you and I, for example, are doing a live program on the air, and in a few minutes I'll invite listeners to call in and speak with you with their questions or comments, etc., on our toll-free number. But while we are doing this on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and we're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, June 28th, I have several attorneys in the conference room here at KLW San Francisco who are actually going to talk with listeners off the air, no obligation whatsoever. So let's take a very brief break for this while I give the 1-800 number to the listeners. All right, everybody, it is our Call a Lawyer night, and the number that I'd like you to jot down if you want to speak to any of the attorneys here at the station is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Attorneys here at the station, I gave you their names before, are for criminal law, for estate planning, employment law, landlord-tenant law, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, tax law, and then numbers for people who may have questions on family law. I'll give those to you again right now. Janet Lee Frankel is a certified specialist in family law. She'll take your calls tomorrow, Thursday, June 29th, from 9 to 11 a.m. at 415-362-9533. If you have questions about workers' compensation, Rob Wyman, W-Y-M-A-N, is a certified specialist in workers' compensation law. He'll take calls from you tomorrow also from 9 to 11 a.m. at 415-387-8100. And if you have problems with creditors or you're thinking about bankruptcy or want some help on, let's say, dealing with your creditors, Leon Baer, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be taking your calls tomorrow, Thursday, June 29th, from 9 a.m. to noon at his number, 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. Now, in just a few minutes, I will invite those of you listening to the full hour program to join us with your questions. For those of you who do not listen to the live program, I want you to be aware that when you hear the half hour, and we have a half hour version of the program that is distributed to a number of stations in California, as well as it's uplinked to the internet through National Public Radio. If you are not listening to the live program, you can also join us for Call a Lawyer, and that number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. California time. Fischel, let's do this. You've talked about how to protect yourself briefly. I mean, this is it would take us a lot more time to really do justice to this, but we only have so much time. What about how do we, if we are damaged, if we are victims of identity theft, how do we mitigate the damage? What do we do?
You know, Chuck, that's a good question. If I may just highlight a couple other things that
Please.
Your callers can do on the Internet.
Yes.
One is to use a different set of passwords for different websites.
Mm.
And it doesn't need to be, complex differences. Let me give you an example. If your favorite password is, let's say, Tango99, when you go to the next website, let there be an exclamation point at the end.
Mm.
On a different website, maybe use a lowercase t.
I see.
Or a uppercase o. What that does is it prevents, in the event that one of your accounts is compromised, it prevents the bad guy from being able to access all your accounts,
mm-hmm.
because what we generally do is use the same password. The question that normally is brought up next is, well, how do I keep track of all these different passwords?
That's a good one, yeah.
So what I want to recommend is a commercial product. And I do want to say is during this talk, I will refer to some commercial products, but these are my personal opinions based on my use and not an endorsement of my employer or my county. But the first product that does a great job of managing different passwords for different sites is called MSecure. And this is going to be part of that guide that you've offered to your listeners to download. It allows you to save username and passwords for every different website if you choose to do so. It's an app that can be installed on your phone so that it goes with you wherever you go. It's encrypted data with 256-bit encryption, and what that basically means, it's never been cracked.
Mm.
So your information is safe, and it's protected by either a PIN or a thumbprint that you can program on your phone.
Really?
That's one thing I'd certainly recommend to your listeners. The other thing I would recommend is something rather revolutionary in online authentication. It's called multi-factor authentication. And what that means is essentially we're used to the normal username password to log into our email or our bank accounts. Multi-factor sets up a second layer of authentication. So once you get past your username password and get that correct, the next level could be, say, a text message to your cell phone with a one-time six-digit number.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, even if someone has access to your username password for your bank account, they can't get in until they also have your cell phone, which would receive that second token. So those two things I would highly suggest are great improvements in securing your personal identifying information.
And in your guide that you put together, which is entitled Identity Theft and Prevention, the Inside Story, do you have this information in there?
I do.
Yeah, okay. And again, everybody, it is a multi-page guide. It is beautifully done, very... I'm very impressed with it. And Vishal is a very experienced prosecutor in the area of identity theft. If you've joined us a little bit late in the program, my guest is Vishal Jangla, a San Mateo County Deputy District Attorney, prosecutor of electronic crimes. And you've been with the DA's, San Mateo County DA's office, how many years now?
Over 10 years, Chuck.
Over 10 years. And I've been involved with it now for about 32, believe it or not. But what do you, before we end the half hour, you mentioned to me when we were preparing for the program just a little while ago, you mentioned something called a free service called Mint, M-I-N-T. What is that?
Right, and again, I apologize for cutting you off earlier, Chuck, and that's what you were asking about. Let's say we've taken these precautions of trying to protect our information and our privacy, but the odds are that information gets compromised. And, well, what do we do now to stay on top of it? Mint is a free service. It's an app for your iPhone or your Android device. It's also a website, mint.com, a commercial product. And what it allows you to do is you can feed it all your financial username and passwords for the different services that you use, your bank accounts, your retirement accounts, your mortgage information. And Mint will track every transaction that comes across any of your accounts in real time. So with a hit of a thumb, your app pops up with all your accounts loaded in there, and it'll refresh every account at once. And within about a minute or so, it'll show you in chronological order every transaction that has touched any of those accounts.
Wow. Wow. And you have, in your guide, you do make reference to Mint here and www.mint.com. One of the things that I found when I was working with consumers who were having problems being ripped off one way or another was that I advised them, and you have it, of course, in your guide, to monitor your credit reports. There are three credit reporting bureaus. There's Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Not too many years ago, the federal law provided that you could get from each one a free copy per year. And if, for example, you have been a victim of some kind of ID theft, you can actually, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, Vishal, but you can actually get one every month from each one of them as you are dealing with the problem. Now, am I right on that or not?
Well, you know, Chuck, you're right that you have the ability to access your credit report for free on a periodic basis. In my opinion, that is just not enough.
Okay.
There are services that go above and beyond that periodic update, which could be once a month or once a year. And I truly think what your callers and people in general need in the day and age is a app or a service that pushes alerts to you in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been someone that's checked your credit report?
Yeah.
What we should get is a alert in real time on your phone that says your credit report has just been checked.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
those services that you referred to, while they're useful, don't provide for that type of service.
Yeah.
And so in my guide, I talk about a couple of services. One is called Credit Karma.
Mm-hmm.
That monitors two of the three bureaus, Equifax and TransUnion, and then the other product I discussed is the Experian app, which of course monitors the Experian credit bureau, and a combination of those two would cover all three credit reporting bureaus, and they push out real time alerts when someone checks a report, when someone opens a new account. And that way, you're able to mitigate any potential damage from someone who now has access to your information and is trying to open up new accounts and take out lines of credit.
Vishal, before we end the statewide version of the program, which is the half hour, could you very briefly talk about, and you've got about, I guess it's a couple of minutes or so, approximately, talk about what one can do if one has been a victim by placing a freeze, or if you don't want a freeze, a fraud alert. Could you briefly talk about both of those?
Sure. The credit bureaus, all three of them, are able to offer either of those features. A freeze essentially locks your credit reports down. No one is able to run inquiries on them, but that could be good or bad, because if you're trying to get a loan, the institution you're applying to is not able to access your credit reports. And so you have to then submit a request to unfreeze them. A much lighter version of that is called fraud alerts. And again, all three credit bureaus do that. And what that does is it doesn't freeze it. The institutions can still access your reports, but you're able to put a note on there that says, hey, if you're pulling my credit, verify that I am a legitimate applicant by calling this specific phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, the bank sees that note, that alert on there, calls the number that's on there, and verifies that you, in fact, put in that application.
I see.
So those are the two options. To learn more, what I would encourage is just Google the words FTC credit freeze.
FTC credit
freeze.
Freeze. Okay, FTC credit freeze. All right. One of the things that I know came up when I was doing some work with people who have been, let's say, victimized, not knowing, is that people have a tendency when they get their credit card statement not to really look at it carefully to see what the story is, see what whether or not there have been any, charges, any payments that this person did not make. What comments do you have on that?
You know, I follow a two-pronged approach. I monitor all my financial accounts on Mint on a daily basis, so I know exactly what's going across my accounts. And then at the end of the month when my statement cuts, I do a quick overview of every transaction on my account to make sure that I am not paying for someone else's charge on my credit card.
We've just about run out of time of the statewide version, Vishal. For those of you listening to the live program, we will continue for another half hour. All right, everybody, let me also tell you, those of you who are listening to the live program, again, this is the fourth Wednesday of the month. It is Wednesday, June 28th. We're doing our regular monthly Call a Lawyer night. And that number, if you want to speak to any of the attorneys here at the station, KLW in San Francisco, that number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank those attorneys who are here. Jeff Hayden, who's a certified specialist in criminal law. He's also the chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. For estate planning, trust, and probate law, Mark Seidenfeld is here. For employment law, Michael Nelson, who has the office workers' rights. For landlord-tenant law, Sal Timpano. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde. For tax law, real estate law, he's also a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And they are here at the station, 1-800-525-9917. And we have three certified specialists who will take your calls tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. This is on Thursday, June 29th. Janet Frankel is a certified specialist in family law. Her phone number, she'll take calls from 9 to 11, is 415-362-9533. For workers' compensation, Robert Wyman, who's a certified specialist in workers' compensation, he'll take your calls tomorrow from 9 to 11 at 415-387-8100. And if you're being chased by creditors or need some help in the area of credit chasing, or if you're overdrawn on your accounts, etc., and you're very worried about it and maybe thinking about bankruptcy, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available tomorrow, Thursday, June 29th, from 9 a.m. to noon at 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. This is a public service of these attorneys. There is no obligation on your part whatsoever. They enjoy trying to make their time available to help you. So take advantage of that if you would. My guest on the live program is Vishal Jangla, a San Mateo County Deputy District Attorney. He's a prosecutor of electronic crimes, including cyberstalking, computer hacking, and significant identity theft offenses. Our phone number, if you would like toll-free, if you'd like to talk with him, whether you have a question, a comment, a problem, and you want to discuss it on the air with us, please do so. Don't wait until the end of the program, because then it's too late. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you've tuned in a little bit late, Vishal has put together an excellent guide for those of us who might be trying to protect ourselves from identity theft. It's entitled Identity Theft and Prevention, The Inside Story. It is a multi-page document, I guess it's about 12 pages or so. And the website for you to take a look at, and I highly recommend you do that to try to educate yourself so that you will not become a victim of identity theft, is tinyurl.com/SAVE, S-A-V-E, and then capital P, capital I, capital I, and the P-I-I is personal identity information. Is that right? Did I get that right?
That's right, Chuck.
Okay. So for those of you who have any questions, any comments, anything that you would like to bring up, please don't hesitate to do that. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, here's their number, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral number, lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. The beauty of a lawyer referral, wherever you may be in the state of California, because most counties have bar associations and lawyer referral services, you can call your own, obviously during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll line you up with an experienced attorney for a half an hour consultation, and with minor exception, For a half an hour consultation with an attorney, you'll pay somewhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep the service going. It's an outstanding consumer service, and I highly recommend it. And one more thing before we take our first call from whoever it is who's just called. If you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, the San Mateo County Law Library is having a presentation on neighbor law. Being a good neighbor is important. Having a good neighbor is even better. Boundary disputes, overgrown trees and shrubs, and noise are but a few of the issues neighbors deal with regularly. Attorney Greg Rubens will discuss legal and non-legal means to resolve disputes and tips for harmonious living in your neighborhood. And you're invited to attend this free lecture. It'll be on Thursday, July 13th at noon. It's at the Law Library in Redwood City, the San Mateo County Law Library at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. It starts at noon on July 13th. And if you'd like more information, the Law Library number is 650-363-4913. 650-363-4913. And again, I urge you, if you have a question, comment, or anything that you would like to share with all of us on the air, please call the toll-free number 866-798-8255. And Aaron, I think, is that pronounced correctly? Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, turn your radio down, Aaron. Turn your radio down. Okay, Aaron, you're on the air. Aaron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, turn your radio down.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm having a question from as a customer. You see, all this theft, the identity theft and so on, the responsibility is ultimately put on the consumer. And somehow, recently I have seen in every walk of life, the consumer is said, you have to take protection, you have to do this, your responsibility. Now, what is the responsibility of Google or Microsoft or those companies? How are they trying to do? What are they trying to do to protect us from such theft?
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. And I will ask Vishal to respond. Is that the extent of your question, Arun?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Turn your radio back up now, and we'll get. He has a, Vishal, a very good question. What are these major companies doing, if anything, that we use that, you know, are reaching out to us? What are they doing, if anything, to try to protect us?
You know, it depends on who the company is. Often when the company is a retailer, as we've heard in the cases of Target and Home Depot, mm-hmm. where they have been the target of attacks and in the process ended up disclosing the identities of millions of their customers. It's sort of a response type situation where the companies are more responding to events as opposed to being prepared for them,
generally speaking. Yeah.
I'd like to think that that's changing as this becomes more prevalent, but that's sort of where we've been for the last few years. On the flip side, as far as service providers go, the likes of Google and Apple, what I've noticed is one of the things that has changed over the years is additional security safeguards. So, for example, Gmail offers multi-factor authentication in an attempt to prevent the hacking of email accounts.
What does that mean, multi-factor identification?
Sure. Multi-factor authentication is beyond the usual username password.
I see.
Where you get to a second step and mm-hmm. require a cell phone or some other sort of identification to enter your account.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of the service providers, they're adding on additional layers of security. But at the end of the day, Chuck, what makes providers vulnerable are lawsuits. When a lot of these
yes.
incidents happen,
yes.
the way they're held accountable is lawsuits for whatever negligent act that they may have committed in leading up to the compromise of the information. And I understand the caller essentially saying, why does the burden fall on us as a consumer? And I think that the key to that is really no one is going to be more careful about their personal identifying information than the person themselves. Really, they have the best interest in protecting it. And so it's a lot easier to take proactive steps to protect mm-hmm. your own information than to have to deal with the cleanup after.
Yeah, of course. Arun, I would suggest, since you brought this up, and it was a very good point that you made, again, I'm very impressed with Vishal's guide. And I hope you wrote down the website for it so that you can look at it on your computer and download it if you want. But I'm going to give you it again because I think it's a great way to try to educate yourself. It was very helpful to me to better understand what I can do. And I've been an attorney for a long time, a deputy district attorney with San Mateo County, not doing all of the stuff that Vishal has done, but I found it very educational for me. And again, the website for Identity Theft and Prevention, the Inside Story, where you can really get a lot more information than you can get on this radio program, unfortunately, because we're limited by time. It's tiny, tinyurl.com/S for SAVE, S-A-V-E, and then capital P and capital I and capital I. And then you will have a chance to see that. People are very quiet tonight. I don't know whether they're hesitant to say I've been ripped off and I don't want to admit it or not, but I wish you would call. You know, what I find sometimes, Vishal, is that by the time we start hitting close to about 15 minutes or so before the end of the program, people get excited and they start calling. And I wish they would call earlier, but a toll-free number again is 866-798-8255. Our Call a Lawyer number for those of you who are interested in speaking to any of the attorneys here at the station, KLW in San Francisco, is 1-800-525-9917. Additional funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, the San Mateo County Bar Association. And here's a question that by the way, here's a question that has been posed to me by someone who I actually work with at the station. Her question was, and Vishal, for you, what I've heard, and I'm going to read what she wrote at the bottom of her email to me. What I've heard recently is that we should be more careful about giving our phone number out. And that's a question mark. Why is that? Question mark. I have my phone number, paren, my personal cell phone, end paren, at the bottom of my email signature. Maybe I should remove it? Question mark. Well, how would you respond to that?
You know, that's a interesting suggestion that I have not come across before. And when I put that through my lens of weaknesses in protecting personal identifying information, it's not up there. You know, one of the things that often happens is when we hear all these stories of identities being compromised and people become victims of it, the knee-jerk reaction is to sort of pull back from the world and try to, try to disconnect yourself from it. The reality is it's entirely unavoidable. As much as we'd like it differently, our information is everywhere, whether it be the government, the DMV, retailers, even places we can't avoid. So the trick is to be PI and I smart, how to protect your information in a smart way. I don't particularly see a risk in having a phone number that's out there. It wouldn't concern me.
Okay, so there you are. I hope that she is listening and will not worry so much about it. I certainly, on my emails that I send out, whether it's on my personal computer or the office computer, I always have my phone number on it, whether it's my personal phone number or my office phone number. And usually, frankly, even when I'm using the office computer at the San Mateo County DA's office, I'll not only give my office number but also my personal cell phone number. Because I think people are more apt to get in touch with me if I give them more than just one number. Here's a question. Let's do this. I don't want to have David wait too long. David, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks for taking my call. Can
of
you hear
course.
Me okay?
Of course, yes.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I'm calling on a cell phone. I'm an avid listener to your program. I've called in a couple of times within the last couple of years. Unfortunately, my landline is not working.
Too bad.
And so I have to resort to using my cell phone.
You're sounding just fine, David.
Good. I'm going to take a rather contrarian viewpoint here. How contrarian? I am a computer refuser. I do not own or operate a computer or use one for any reason whatsoever. Would be rare circumstance where I have to call in a favor. I would like to echo the comments of your first caller who raised the question of where is the corporate responsibility for this utter mess that we are in with regard to computer insecurity. And I would assert that cybersecurity is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as cybersecurity. All the so-called patches and fixes, they're merely band-aids. Once all information and all human interaction is reduced to digitized forms, there is always going to be a way for people to hack into it and break into it. And the more as a society that we rely on computer-based methods of communication and social interaction, the more vulnerable we are going to be. There is no such thing as a technological fix for this. And I appreciate your taking my comments, and I'll listen to you.
I appreciate what you're saying. I'm surprised, frankly, when you say you are a computer refuser, that you even have a cell phone. And I'm not trying to be facetious. One of the things that bothers me so much today, being out in the public, and of course there are laws that say when you drive a car you're not supposed to be talking on a cell phone, holding it in your hand.
Oh, don't let me get started on that.
No, I don't want you to. But what bothers me so much today, frankly, is you're walking down the street, and so a high percentage of people are constantly looking at this little thing in their hands. They pay no attention to you, et cetera, et cetera. It's as if we're in a different world. If you don't want to do something like they're doing, you're kind of the stranger in a strange land. So, David, thank you very much for calling. I'm going to ask Vishal to respond to you. Turn your radio back up, if you would. Okay, take care. Vishal, what do you have to say for David, this guy who is a computer refuser?
David, I would agree that as long as digital information exists, it is at risk of being compromised and exploited. And I think what's crucial for your listeners, Chuck, including David and anyone else who is sort of in this quandary, the benefit outweighing the risks. If you, as a personal choice, find that being having your iPhone in your hand as you walk down the street and being, you know, in this alternate world, if that is critical to you, then as long as you're aware that with that comes the risk of identity compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're choosing to use digital devices, I suppose the thrust of this discussion is how best can you avoid or minimize the likelihood of being a victim and mitigate any damage that comes with it.
And you've discussed some of the things that one can do already, right?
Right. Several of the things that I've discussed and many more that are on the website, tinyurl.com/savepii.
David, thank you very much for calling. Here's something that was brought into the studio to me. News reports abound of criminal break-ins to networks of businesses. What can an individual do to prevent damage by hackers intent on extortion?
I'm assuming the statement and the question refers to a lot of the cyber attacks that have happened recently.
I presume so. I presume so.
And they've primarily targeted businesses and in an effort to obtain ransom. And they've used something called ransomware,
mm-hmm.
where it locks up their computers, and unless they pay a certain amount, mm-hmm. they are not able to get access to that information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an individual who may transact with a company that is a target of an attack, it's more, unfortunately, you're an observer. There's not much you can do
mm-hmm.
When all your interaction with that company is as a consumer. I think as a corporation, as a business owner, whether it's a small business, whether you own a consulting firm, whether you're an attorney, you are likely to be a target for someone that wants the valuable information you have. Think about an accountant. All the personal identifying information an accountant has or an insurance agent has, a mortgage broker has. So I think it's incumbent on a lot of people, not just corporations or individuals, but even small businesses and mom-and-pop stores or shops to employ good cybersecurity practices. And
mm-hmm.
some of those
mm-hmm.
we talked about, firewalls, be careful about opening up emails from names you don't recognize.
Yeah,
and even if you do, that attachment may contain a virus.
And solicitations that we may get on the computer saying you are now qualifying for a free vacation, et cetera, et cetera. How do you deal with that?
The same way I would if someone walked up to me on the street and said, Vishal, I want to give you a free vacation. Be wary.
You won't go for it, huh?
Be wary. If it sounds too good to be true, there's a catch.
Yeah, I agree with you. If it sounds too good to be true, that is certainly not true. Here's another question. Most cybercrime goes undetected and unpunished. The bad guys aren't robbing banks anymore. They're hacking accounts and stealing money electronically and draining bank accounts. Is local police enforcement helpless when it comes to cyber crime? What do you have to say with that? I mean, obviously, you as a deputy district attorney, you're dealing with the police departments in San Mateo County. What thoughts do you have on this?
Cyber crimes are challenging, particularly where we're talking about actors that are across state lines and very frequently from foreign countries. It is particularly challenging for local law enforcement to investigate a thief who is sitting in his apartment in Moscow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's true. It is a new frontier of crimes that law enforcement is confronted with. Fortunately, there are resources that are coming down from the federal government. The FBI has resources that are available for crimes that happen that are beyond the local law enforcement's jurisdiction. So there are avenues to investigate and go after cyber criminals, but generally those are for bigger fish,
mm-hmm,
so to
mm-hmm.
speak, particularly when we're talking about international crime.
Yeah.
So if it's a smaller type crime and the suspect lives in another country, it's a far more challenging of a case to resolve than a local criminal that's robbing a bank.
Right, right. Let's take another call from Sanjay. Sanjay, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Good evening.
Hi.
So I have an example of identity theft that occurred. Show you that even if you take the right steps, it's not easy. So a colleague of mine had identity theft. The thief went to the post office and did a change of address. And apparently, you can do this very easily. They'll just send you a card to say, by the way, did you do this change of address? And if you don't notice that card, the change of address will happen. So then they went to a credit card company and got them to issue a brand new card at the original address. They received the new card, they started to spend it. Okay?
Yeah.
The credit bureaus apparently had been told not to issue any new offers for credit, but somehow these people managed to convince the credit bureau to say, you know, allow it or what. I don't know how they did that. Last thing is when they complained to the police saying, look, here is the place where the address was being sent. Here is the address of the identity theft person. The police said, we don't have time to investigate this. There are too many identity thefts happening.
Let me get some comments from Vishal on this, Sanjay. Thank you very much for calling. Vishal, we're nearly at the end of the program. What comments do you have on that?
I have heard of that type of crime occurring, and what I would say is, and again, I'll be accused of, you know, putting the burden on us, the end users, but I think this is really the thrust of the show, is how do we empower ourselves to take control of our own information.
Mm-hmm.
In that circumstance, if we are subscribed to one of these credit monitoring bureau services, again, which are for free, then that victim would have immediately been notified of an inquiry
mm-hmm.
on his credit report
mm-hmm.
when that credit application was made, and could proactively then call the company and say, I never made this application.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that aside, what I have experienced is financial institutions, phone companies, these corporations that end up having accounts opened in victims' names are fairly responsive, very responsive to complaints of identity theft. So if you, as a victim, were to call a bank and say, that is not my credit card, a lot of them have protocols established on how to manage those complaints and resolve them. So ultimately, and admittedly, it's inconvenient and it is frustrating to have to deal with it, but at the end of the day, for the most part, the banks and the cell phone carriers do the right thing. They don't hold the victim accountable, and they correct the account.
Vishal, we have come to the end of the program. I want to thank you very much, and I'm sorry, Susan, that we couldn't take your call. Susan's been waiting, but thank you very much, Susan. I suggest, Susan, you take a look at Vishal's guide by going to the website tinyurl.com/SAVEPIII. The program, we have a free podcast of the entire program, and you can get that at www.klw.org/subscribe. Vishal Jungla, I want to thank you very much for joining us. I look forward to seeing you in the office. Vishal Jungla is a San Mateo County Deputy District Attorney, Prosecutor of Electronic Crimes. Vishal, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you on the program. Next time on Your Legal Rights, we're going to have a discussion of current scams, by the way, and how we can protect ourselves from becoming victims of scammers. My guest will be Joseph Rideout, Manager of Consumer Services at Consumer Action, a nonprofit consumer education and advocacy organization serving consumers in the United States. And that's what we're going to be doing next week. I want to thank, the Your Legal Rights, Call a Lawyer, lawyers who are here, and they are Jeff Hayden, Janet Lee Frankel, Robert Wyman, Mark Seidenfeld, Michael Nelson, Sal Timpano, Ron Rohde, Frank Adam, and Leon Baer. Thank you for listening to Your Legal Rights, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.